1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greed." Paul goes on to say that the greedy pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Grabbing that fast buck is a trap that has sunk many a Christian and many a ministry. Today, a look in the mirror as the greedy heart is revealed. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series tells about seven secret snares that can trap the Christian. Today, Erwin Lutzer takes us to Ephesians chapter 5 to learn more about greed, the heart revealed. He finds a sad commentary on our culture.
We are raising a generation in which greed is at the heart of consumerism. Someone has said huge shopping malls have become the cathedrals of our society for millions of worshiping shopaholics. And as the bumper sticker says, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. Now, of course, greed can express itself in other ways too, can't it? Greed expresses itself in the miser who keeps all of his money, in the man who will not give his wife money to spend, even though they have it. They're keeping it for some day that may never come, and they decide that they are going to pinch every single penny. You've met people like that too, haven't you? Some of you live with people like that. God help you. God help you. Greed is a feeling of possessiveness and ownership, a sense of saying, I need money and I need things and I need more money and I need more things. And then if you're in America today, there are people who will tell you that life owes you all those things. I told you that greed never comes unchaperoned. It's always got some cousins that it brings to the picnic. Let me name two. One is covetousness. Now, the Bible is very explicit that covetousness is idolatry. Here is a verse. No immoral or impure or greedy person. I might say that it begins with the words of Paul, for of this you can be sure. How many things can you be sure of in life? Well, here's one of them. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. But notice this, a greedy person is an idolater. Oh, very important. If you wonder why the sin of greed is so great, in a few moments I'll be explaining to you why it is a slap in God's face. But notice it says, he's an idolater. Now the last commandment is thou shalt not covet. The first commandment is thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Paul is saying something very interesting. He's saying that the two commandments are identical. That if you covet, you are breaking the first commandment. You become an idolater. Covetousness, that desire to have what other people have. Eve coveted being like God and ate the forbidden fruit. Lot's wife coveted Sodom and turned into a pillar of salt. David coveted his neighbor's wife and destroyed his family. Covetousness is part of that mix all the time. Then there's another cousin that shows up at the picnic. It's envy. Envy is that sense of ill will that we feel toward people who are doing better than we are. Envy is that feeling that we despise those people who are better looking than we are. And for some of us, that's a bunch. Envy is that feeling that we despise those who have more money or those who are stronger or those who are more successful in the very thing that we are doing. That's envy. Because of envy, you remember Cain killed Abel, and Saul tried to kill David, and Jesus was crucified. Pilate, you remember, says it was because of envy that they delivered him. Jewish folklore has a very interesting story about an angel who came to a man and said, I want you to know that you can have anything that you want, but your rival over here, whom you envy, no matter what you have, your rival will receive double. And without hesitation, the man said, make me blind in one eye. Envy says, I will be blind in one eye if he can be blind in two. Envy. Do you realize, my friends, that we are born greedy? We're born greedy. I was born greedy. You were born greedy. We have this monster that crouches, as it were, in the depths of our soul, and it will take over, and it will control, and it will mislead, and it will grow strong unless we do something with it very, very drastic. And at the end of this message, we'll be told exactly what we need to do with it. As you know, this is a series of messages entitled Seven Secret Snares. I begin with greed. Next time we will talk about gambling, which many people say is one of the worst possible things that is happening in society, even worse than alcoholism, the experts are telling us. But I want you to take your Bibles for a moment and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, where Jesus discusses the sin of greed head on. Luke chapter 12, Christ is speaking to a crowd and someone interrupts him. And I suppose in those days, interrupting a speaker was considered to be acceptable if it was done while he was at least having a pause in his discussion, in his sermon. I'd prefer it not to happen today. But in verse 13 of Luke 12, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, in those days, if you had a problem like that within the family, it was very natural to go to a rabbi and have him resolve it. And you get some wisdom. And here you have a family dispute, the parents have died, and the kids are squabbling over the inheritance. Things haven't changed too much, have they? Some of us know an undertaker here in the city. And we've had funerals at his place. He's a Christian man. He told me that on one occasion, he was actually in the cemetery right after the coffin had been put into the ground, and already then guns were being drawn over the inheritance. Now, you come from a family that's more sophisticated than that. You don't draw guns. You just don't talk to one another after what happened. And you know that it's unjust and it's not right. Apparently, this man was not getting one-third of the inheritance, which the younger man, I'm guessing now, but it's probably right, the older man, those firstborns with all of their strength and with all of their choleric personalities, was taking the whole thing. So he comes to Jesus and says, tell my brother to do what is right, to divide the inheritance. Very interesting. Jesus doesn't get involved in this. He could have. He could have said, bring the guy here and we'll have a discussion over it and I'll make an adjudication. But Jesus replies, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? And then Jesus says, I don't want to solve your legal problem. I want to solve a problem that's much deeper than that. And that is the problem of the heart. He said, how often do you think Jesus said these words? Not often. Watch out. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. He was saying that in the back of your question, which may have been quite right and quite proper in a certain context, I detect here that you are covetous and there's some greed going on there, and you're beginning to think that your life consists in the abundance of things that you possess. Watch out. That's a mistake. And then in order to get his point across, Jesus tells a story. By the way, have you ever known what it is like to have money waved in your face, the possibility of big money? You know that there are Christians who do all kinds of things you'd never think that they would do simply because there are hundreds of thousands of dollars at stake, or maybe even millions at stake, and suddenly they throw all caution to the winds. Many years ago, that New Era scheme, which was a fraud, you remember, people, Christian organizations even gave money to New Era, and then New Era doubled it. And they doubled the money based on the new people who were funneling new money into the scheme. And of course, eventually the tent had to come unglued and it all collapsed. But the Wall Street Journal had a very interesting article about these. Because it says that people were warning others, don't get involved in this, it looks suspicious. But those voices were drowned out by those who pointed to the indisputable fact that New Era had never failed to double the participants' money. That was at the beginning of the scheme. And someone who urged his board to not get involved said, his urging did not help because he said they could just taste the money. The weakness around the mouth, the desire in the eyes. I've always heard the expression that you can see greed written, but now I've seen it in reality. Nothing mattered. Give us the money. Jesus tells a story. It's a parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, he's having a little news conference with himself here. This is what I'm going to do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And then Jesus adds, this is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. This man made some major, major mistakes. I never tire of telling people that money makes all the same promises that God does. This is Pastor Lutzer. I hope that through this series of messages, the Holy Spirit of God reveals in our hearts certain attitudes and certain values that we are willing to confess in the presence of our loving Lord. Greed does indeed permeate our hearts. We are born with it. The desire to possess, the desire to own, the desire to have what others have and to resent those who have more than we do. I want you to know that that serpent lies within our hearts. And because it is coiled, so to speak, oftentimes it is undetected. But this would be a very good time for all of us to invite the Lord to search our hearts and to say, Father, where are those pockets of greed within my own soul that need to be exposed and confessed? As I mentioned in the message, I am struck with a passage of Scripture that says that covetousness is idolatry. Because unless we are willing to deal with the greed that is in our hearts, we'll be like that rich man, to whom God says, thou fool. So let's invite God to do in our lives what needs to be done.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part two of Greed, the Heart Revealed, the second message in his series on seven secret snares. Tomorrow, how to fight the enemy within each of us. In the days ahead, listen for topics including alcoholism, pornography, sexual freedom, the pursuit of pleasure, and the occult. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours in Dr. Lutzer's book, Seven Snares of the Enemy. This book will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.